to another edition of the CJ McCollum Show, a long-awaited show since it's been a while since we last recorded. A lot has happened in the NBA
How you doing, CJ? This is a safe space. It is called the CJ McCollum Show.
I'm doing okay. It's always difficult when your season ends, especially the way ours did. Getting swept, losing on your home floor. Always difficult, especially when you put together a really good season. We put together a really good regular season, 49 wins. Had a chance to get the fifth seed, had a chance to get the sixth seed, and obviously ended up with the eighth seed and played against a really good OKC team who's young but defends at a high level, obviously has the offensive firepower, and forces a lot of turnovers. And I think it was just a difficult series for us, obviously, without Z. Obviously, offensively, it was a difficult series for us, from a historical standpoint, just not scoring the ball, not shooting the ball well from three. And defensively, we were pretty good outside of game two. I'd say we were really good defensively throughout, but didn't play well enough. And I think I said it in my 20-minute post game. I needed to be great for us to have a chance to win this series, and I wasn't great. So we weren't going to be able to win this series, especially, without Z, especially with the way our offense kind of performed throughout the series. But, you credit OKC. That's a good team. Well coached, a lot of great players, a lot of young players who are going to be successful for a long time. And for us, it's just about obviously figuring out how we can be successful long term, how we can put together a full season and then be healthy at the right time. But I think all of those things will play a factor. And Griff talked about changes that potentially will be made to the roster. So we will stay posted to see what that consists of as well.
Yeah. I mean, look, and Griff talked about that in his exit interview, where basically, in the years past, it was like, let's just see what this group can do when they're healthy. For the most part, we saw that. Zion, career high 70 games this year after playing just 29 the last two combined. And he was playing at all-star levels, career highs in assists, steals, and blocks. And Brandon Ingram played the most games since his rookie season with the Lakers. He had 64, and you transformed your game on the perimeter, career high, from three as well. So, there a lot of good in this season for you guys. You also, led the league in road wins. Not sure what the issue was at home, but the road wins, franchise record as well. And you increased your wins, from when Willie Green, was a rookie coach to this year to 49. So there's a lot to walk away, right, from the season. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the playoffs just feel like something was like there's like a built-in excuse given that Zion wasn't there, or just like it, what was the feeling among the team? Because I know how deflating it was when, we saw him limp off the court.
Yeah, it was definitely deflating to not be at full strength and not be able to see the potential of what could have been in the series, especially considering the fact that he got hurt in the Lakers game, which probably gives us the seventh seed instead of the eight. And I think that makes us end up playing Denver in the first round, which is another really good team that's got experience. But I think all in all, it was just disappointing because it's such a letdown. Obviously, Z being hurt, but the way we lost, I think we had a chance to get game one, obviously, and I think that set the stage for the rest of the series. And once they kind of settled in, they continued to kind of play at a higher level than we did consistently. We had our moments, we had our quarters, we had our spurts where we play a good 30 minutes or a good 35, but, there would be a quarter or just a lapse, maybe to start a quarter that would change the outcome of some of these games. Obviously, we had a lot of turnovers, didn't make threes. Struggled finishing around the basket with Chet there, but I think it was just a frustrating series because, you always think about what your team could have looked like healthy, but the reality is that we weren't healthy, and the reality is that we lost. And it's unfortunate, but it's a part of the game. And I think we had enough to compete better than we did. I think based on our roster and based on, the players that we have, it should have been more competitive. And it was competitive in the sense of games being close, but just not winning games, I think was the it's a difficult thing to process, you know, when you get swept like that, when you feel like you could have won at least one or two games, especially game one. I think we could have got, but you know, it's living in the present, living in the reality of the fact that we lost, and then figuring out how to get better individually, figuring out, you know, how to be better, and then figuring out how our team can be better collectively, and just continue to sustain high levels of play throughout the season, and then allow that to kind of transform and progress into the postseason.
Yeah, and so like you talked about, there's some decisions to be made in the offseason. Jonas Valanciunas, obviously an unrestricted free agent, and then the decision around Brandon Ingram's contract extension. He has 1 year left on his current deal, eligible for that, you know, 4 year, $208 million extension. And, you know, Pelicans typically haven't paid into to luxury tax. And, you know, they have 106 tied up in you and Zion. So, and BI. So we'll see. I mean, this is not, we don't usually get into numbers like this on this pod, but, you know, aside from that, like, how do you approach the off season? So season's over. What's that process like for you to kind of debrief with the team and yourself, and kind of move into the off season?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just about trying to reset my mind, my body. Obviously, the soreness, the fatigue, the mental, physical that you go through throughout a season. I'm sure you're going through it now as you enter the playoffs and continue to cover playoff games. Like, you're just drained, emotionally and physically drained. So you try to rest, try to recover, spend time with family, spend time with the kids, spend time with my wife, the dog. Just try to, like, have a sense of normalcy in terms of schedule and routine. Obviously, the schedule is the same. You know, wake up, you get treatment, you go to the gym. You lift, you work out over and over again for 8 months, and then you kind of pause, take a break, allow your body to recover, and then you start to slowly ramp up again and really work on your body and your game. But right now, it's just allowing the body to kind of heal, allowing some of the injuries and things that you go through throughout the season, the nicks and nacks, to kind of recover, and then slowly kind of planning your summer out from a work standpoint of, you know, what days I'm working out, when does my ramp start, putting together the calendar starting in June. And we'll progress into the regular season. But I think that's kind of the focus right now, is to just kind of rest and recover, reset, get some things in order. Really just focus on, you know, family, focus on getting my mind right, getting my body right before I begin to ramp up. But it is weird, like, watching games on TV. And
are you watching the gym?
Some games. I've seen some of the game seven that Cleveland had against Orlando. I'll watch some of that Denver Timberwolves game around bedtime, and with my baby girl, you know, she's active at night, so yeah. Just around that, you know, you watching
some sleep
games
progression.
And stuff. Yeah, she's going through sleep progression. I'm going through a sleep regression.
But I'm sure. You're catching up on, you know, catching up on sleep.
Yeah,
because I don't think people understand, like, games end, and you get on the plane. And then you sleep for, if you're lucky, for what, you know, an hour or two, depending on how long the flight is. Then you got to get up and then go home or go to the next, you know, hotel. It's not easy. That, like, there's the games are not easy, but the travel for you guys. And I don't, you know, I know you're flying charters,
yeah,
but still, it's
exactly.
still not easy. But okay, let's we can talk more just as news starts to come out with the Pelicans, you know. And specifically, I know there's a lot of noise around Brandon Ingram, you know, coming off of that playoff performance too. You're being hard on yourself. I'm sure he's being hard on himself as well. But he, you know, he was pressured a lot by Lu Dort. He gave, you know, even though BI is taller than him, he gave him some problems. And just want to, like, talk about this Thunder team as they got the next matchup against the Mavericks. What did you take away from that young group? And, you know, I think a lot of people are looking at this team, number one seed in the West. They're talented, but man, they're young and inexperienced. Do you think that they're ready for the stage of, you know, making a real finals run?
I mean, I think they got as good a chance as anybody. Obviously, Denver's probably the favorites. Whoever gets out of that Denver Timberwolves series will probably be the favorites. Just got a great message. Both kids are asleep in their cribs. Sorry.
That is a win. And look at you, spending time on the pod when you could be sleeping yourself.
It's a beautiful message. Sorry. But no, in regards to OKC, I think they got a combination of all the right things, right? They were the number one seed, but let's just be honest here. They're way ahead of the curve in terms of where people expected them to be at, in terms of expectations to start, compared to, you know, when the rebuild kind of first started, then they get CP, then they start winning again, then they get all those draft picks, all those players. And
Chet kind of...
Chet takes a year to kind of recover, comes back.
Yeah.
J-Dub comes back, gets drafted, gets better the second year, and then they got the other Williams coming off the bench. Giddy, like, this is a good team, a young team, but good. They got the star power, obviously, in Shea, who can get rim pressure, gets to the free throw line, can shoot threes, especially late clock situations. You need guys that can shoot middies. They got multiple guys that can get to the mid-range. They're a downhill team, which means they're consistently trying to get downhill, forcing you to play in rotations because they're always in position to drive closeouts. They got a rim protector who can also space the floor, which is rare in this league, is to have a 7-foot-plus unicorn who can guard at the level, sit in a drop, kind of stunt, still get back and protect. They got shooting coming off the bench. They got defenders. I think they're good. And, you know, having played in OKC when Russ and KD were there, right? So I got to see some of that. And then, you know, KD leaves, and then it's Russ, and it's Russ and PG. Seeing them in the playoffs, the atmosphere in Oklahoma,
energy is crazy. Yeah,
that's a real home court advantage. Like, that's top five in terms of engagement from fans, participation.
It's loud,
super duper loud. They know how to party and tailgate before the game, right outside the hotel. Like, they got it down, and that's something that I think the team thrives off of, and something that they weren't expecting or used to. Like, obviously, they got good fans in the regular season.
It's only show in town right now for them. Like, other than, I mean,
there's nothing to do besides eat steak.
College football. Yes, 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 right.
And they got some good steak. But I would say, you factor in all those things, I don't see why they can't get out of this round and go to the conference finals. I actually like them in this series, and I like the Mavericks a lot. I like the way Kyrie's playing. Obviously, Jay Kidd's coaching his butt off. Luka's playing well. They end up winning that round without Tim Hardaway Jr. Like, he's got to be back at some point. Like, that's a really good team. Shout out to Nico. He did a great job at the deadline of continuing to get pieces to surround.
Yeah, PJ and Gafford, you know, they've been a seamless, you know, additions to that team. And I think they've added a fire that, you know, is kind of brought that group a little more whole than it was to start the year. And Kyrie, man, he's playing with a lot of joy right now. I mean, in talking to him, he's addressed, you know, that his maturity issues in the past and how he may not have been that happy and it led to some immature decisions. I know that is a very blanket statement talking about a lot of different issues with Kyrie, but the bigger picture is that it is evident he is happy. It is evident that he is feeling, you know, at his best, and that him and Luka are really have found a nice way to work with each other. And we talked about this a lot on this podcast, this Mavericks team, and how, you know, they've really figured things out. And Luka has been interesting because he was not healthy in that last series, and he was really hard on himself. You know, he was talking about how he's letting Kyrie down. But the biggest thing about that duo is, you know, like, it's them figuring out ways to kind of supplement each other. And it's going to be interesting to see who actually guards Luka. And is it going to be Dort? Is it going to be, you know, Jalen Williams? I mean, obviously, Luka, like, for those who don't understand, like, how do you describe just the size of Luka?
I mean, he's the size of a power forward. So, I mean, he built like he grew up on a farm, you know. He's heavy. He's strong.
Yeah.
Still quick. Got great burst, great change of speed, but like he's all of, I don't know, 6'8", 250. He's right. A big boy, man. He got to be 240. He got to be like 240. He got to walk around like 235,
no,
240.
He really, yeah.
That's a heavy man who can get to the basket, run a pick and roll, scores in transition, ISOs. I think he led the NBA in first quarter points. Like, he gets off to great starts. He's super aggressive. Kai is normally, you know, filling the game out, kind of playing his role, and then Kai kind of presses the switch and turns it on as the game progresses. But I'd imagine they put Lu Dort on him to start. And then once he gets in foul trouble or whatever the case, maybe they switch him off and let J-Dub guard him. They'll bring in Cason Wallace. They'll put him on them. They'll kind of play with the matchups a little bit. I'm sure Wiggins will guard him a little bit. They'll mix and match because they're going to do some switching. Once they sub Chet out, they'll do some switching 1 through 5. They'll probably mix in some matchup zones, some full court pressure to a zone. They'll play a little bit. I would imagine as the series progresses, they play with the lineups and they play with coverages throughout, because you can't give Kai and Luka the same coverages throughout an entire game. They'll hit into quarters or just randomly try to get the ball out their hands sometimes and make somebody else beat you. Similar to how they guarded B.I. and myself, I'm sure they'll have a game plan similar to that, to where you're living and dying with other guys being able to take shots throughout a series and hoping that the law of averages works out in your favor, especially in the playoffs.
So what's also interesting about the series is you got, you know, two MVP candidates going head to head, if you will, in Luka and Shai. And I struggled. You know, I put Luka second behind Jokic. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, a lot of people had Shai as their number one, or figured if he's not number one, he's 100% should be number two. But that's not how I saw it this season. Who do you think, you know, who are you expecting to have a stronger series between those two, or you just expect it to be, you know, they're both going to lead their teams?
I think they're both going to lead their teams. Obviously, Luka's workload usage is probably going to be a little higher than Shai's throughout this series. It's heavy, heavy pick and roll with him and Kyrie. Shai's going to get downhill, but you know, Chet's a guy that can get you close to 20. J-Dub can get you close to 20. I think they have a couple other weapons and guys who will contribute throughout the series, to where Shai may not have to do as much heavy lifting. But I expect it to be a really good series, really competitive series, where they both show why they are considered MVP candidates. And looking forward to seeing the atmosphere, honestly, of, you know, the second round, and you know, stakes continue to raise as you get closer and closer to the finals. So it'll be really, really cool to watch. And it's unfortunate that we're not in it. It's the toughest part of the game, is that it's here and then it's gone. And you think about all the things you could have done better, all the shots, all the defensive assignments, you know. And I think the cool part is we all competed at a high level. We all locked into the game plan and gave it our best shot in terms of preparation, just didn't execute as much as we would have liked throughout the series. And I think it comes down to making and missing shots as a maker and miss league. And you got to be able to make three-pointers and generate three-pointers in the playoffs. And I think we generated some, but we didn't make them, including myself. And I shot the ball really well down the stretch of the season, and then I didn't shoot the ball well from three in the playoffs. And that hurts, especially if you only got four games to figure it out before it's over. And I think Dallas got shooting. OKC has some shooting on their roster, and it'll be interesting to see, you know, how well players shoot, especially guys not named Shai, Luka, J-Dub, Kai.
Yeah. Also, just a, you know, little injury note. I mean, Maxi Kleber hurt himself and, you know, likely done for this series, possibly could return sometime in the postseason. But, you know, he's just kind of like a steadying force. Obviously, he's not your one or two option, but he's a guy that in the playoffs that you know, can rely on for a boost, specifically defensively. I, to your point, in terms of that atmosphere in OKC, I think I like OKC in game one, but I, you know, it is a real big toss up for me who wins this series. Out of all the series, you know, this one's a hard one to read.
So who are you going with?
I think I'm going to still go with the Mavs. And that's purely based on, you know, the superficial inexperience of the Thunder and going with you know, the veteran duo in Kyrie and Luka, because what I've witnessed this year is that there's something special happening with them, but that's not how the playoffs play out, you know. Those type of like esoteric concepts of what a team is, you know, that's not how it plays out on the court. So we'll, you know, that's going to be a good series to watch. You're picking the Thunder.
I mean, they beat us, so
that's not a reason. You just, so is that how you look at it? It's like, I want the team who beat us to win the championship, so we have a bigger reason.
I mean, that would look better, but I think just the way they're playing, like they're playing at a high level. They defend, they force turnovers, they're aggressive, they have home court. Obviously, Luka and Kai are playing extremely well. It's a toss-up. Tim will come back at some point. Losing Kleber, I think, hurts because that's a switchable guy that can shoot, stretches the floor well. But like you lose him, you gain Hardaway Jr. back. I think it's, you know, you'll try to figure that out. I think it goes six. I'm going to go Thunder in six.
All right.
Thunder
yeah.
in six.
Well, they do have home court advantage too, so that's, you know, that's a big thing.
It could easily be Dallas in six. So,
I mean, it would be an official arrival. I feel like, you know, if they continue into the Western Conference Finals, like that is, yeah, I don't think people can throw the inexperienced moniker at them if you get to that point.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you are into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride. Every time, or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Do you know you talk about the Nuggets kind of being the favorites? We're recording this on Monday afternoon. Game two is Monday night, and you know, game one we saw Anthony Edwards go off for 43 points to hand the Nuggets a game one loss. You know, 43. With 25 coming in the first half. He had 40 in the closeout game against the Suns too. And he's scored 35 points at least in the last three games. Tied with LeBron, Kobe, and And so it's just like, he just came out today and said, I'm tired of the Michael Jordan comparisons. You know, let's like pump the brakes. And I will say, like, there's something to his stardom right now. He's also just like, he's also handling the post games media really well. Like he's giving people their flowers. He's like, you know, he's got he's humble, but yet has a dog in him. He's like, he's putting a masterclass on right now, and there's a reason why people are, whatever, dubbing him the new face of the league, and whether or not that is a fair way to approach these playoffs, I think it's kind of undeniable. We're seeing a little bit of a passing of the torch, but let's just start with Anthony Edwards, since I haven't talked to you since these playoffs started, really.
Special. He's special.
Do you think that he's Michael Jordan's son?
He said stop Michael Jordan talk, so I'm going to stop with it. Okay. But what he's doing is impressive.
That's the president of the Players Association, right? They're standing doing, up for his...
He said stop talking about us, we're going to stop talking about it. What he's doing is impressive. The growth in his game, the comfort... First of all, the jump shot. The comfort in his jump shot. When he first got into the league, it was a work in progress in terms of shooting the ball with range. Had a midi, but his three ball has gotten better. His comfort off the bounce has gotten better. His handle, he's obviously strong, finishes well around the basket. His setup moves, he's got a mid-post game. He's using the backboard. And he's not afraid. He's aggressive. I think Mike Conley said it. He thinks he's the greatest player to ever play the game, if you asked him. Like, he would say that in private, obviously. He won't say that in public, but that's his mentality. Like, he's out here to challenge people. He's out here to guard. He's out here taking a challenge on. And then, you know, he's being authentic to himself. You talked about the post-game interviews. You talked about the press conferences. He's still a kid, you know what I'm saying? So you still see the kid aura in how he talked about how, like, KD's his, you know, his GOAT, basically. Like, he got to play against his GOAT and send him home, and he told him about it. And I think just being able to see, like, even his commercials, like, he's got funny commercials.
Yeah.
He's got, you know, it's almost the Jordan feel in those commercials where, like, he's talking about the shoes. And I think
it feels different. It feels different from what anything that we've, like, seen lately. Just the campaign.
They're doing a great job of maximizing who he is.
And the shoe's nice.
I can't speak to all of that, you know, as a leaning guy. But I think the commercials are dope. And I think that he's doing a great job of being himself. He's aggressive. He ain't afraid. He ain't afraid of the moment. He ain't afraid to give other people credit when credit is due. He's doing a tremendous job of enjoying the game of basketball and maximizing his talents. And you know the work is there. The work ethic is there because you see the growth in his game. You see how his teammates respond to him. You see how the staff responds and respects him. And what we're seeing, you know, from a 22-year-old is it's incredibly, incredibly impressive. It's really, really impressive to see. And you just imagine, you know, the growth. How good is he going to be at 25, 26, 30? Scary.
Yeah. And this team is good. This Timberwolves team is really good. And they're very connected. Covering them in that Sun series, you know, their defense, first and foremost, is outstanding. And you have to give a lot of credit to Rudy Gobert. And, you know, Rudy Gobert, he wrote actually quite a poignant piece in the Players Tribune just about, like, whether or not it was taking shots at Utah or, you know, finding peace with where he is right now. Just about, you know, like, not everyone's going to like you.
Right.
But I feel, you know, comfortable being myself in Minnesota. And you can feel it. And because that team is accepting of each other's roles, like, people didn't think that was going to work. Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, and it's working. I mean, you got the top defense in the league. What do you think? Do you think that, you know, they're set up to, you know, upset the defending champs? Because, look, Jamal's not healthy. Luka's only one man. He's out here, you know, wanting to clone himself. After what you saw in game one, do you feel like the Timberwolves may just have the better matchup?
They match up really well, and I think the key is obviously Rudy's ability to switch. Draymond talked about it. He's been switching a lot. Started in the regular season with him getting more comfortable with him playing in small lineups and switching on the guards, and he's been moving those puppies. He's moving his feet well in the perimeter, forcing guys into tough shots, forcing people to play in the yard, you know, making sure they're not getting three-pointers off. Obviously finishing well around the basket, but you look at the impact of their ability to put Towns on big fella, Naz Reid on big fella, Kyle
Nas
Anderson.
Had a huge game one too, by the way. Shout out to the sixth man of the year.
He was awesome, hit some big shots and just gave them another body to throw at Joker, who's unstoppable, but you need multiple bodies to throw at him. And then down the stretch, they had Rudy on them, which, you know, gave him some fits at times. Just a couple tough possessions is all you can hope for against Joker, right? Force him into a couple tough shots. Maybe you get a good contest on one or two of them and he misses. Rudy did a great job of controlling that aspect of the game in terms of just making sure the offense is always aware of where he's at. Like his presence on the court, you got to be mindful of him when you get to your, you know, 6 feet and under package, which is the floaters, the combination of finishes, right hand, left hand, scoop shots, all the stuff that Murray has in his bag and a lot of those other guys, you have to be aware of where he's at. And he's big enough to get contests on middies too. So it's just it's a really good team, well coached. They're deep. They got a lot of players who, you know, defend, a lot of players who can shoot. Obviously, Mike Conley is the general, hits big shots, kind of keeps them organized. And
yeah, it really
if
does.
They're going to get those types of games from Anthony Edwards, I don't see how they don't go to the finals.
I'm right there with you. If he continues to put up 40 pieces, like he's gonna have to continue to respond to Jordan comparisons. And I'm not saying that he's Jordan, but he's putting up Jordan-like numbers. Just to speak a little bit more to your point about, you know, like how they're defending them. You know, when Gobert was the final defender, the Nuggets shot 9 of 15 from the field. Jokic went 6 of 11 on those plays. And when either Reed or Towns was the final defender and Gobert was on the court, Nuggets went 12 of 32 and Jokic was 3 of 10. They're just like, just a lot of looks that they can throw at Jokic. Jokic is superhuman at times, but, you know, like even Superman can have his own kryptonite if it's overpowering him. So I'm not going to say that the Nuggets they're out of this one by any means. Like it's easy to overreact after one game, and you got Michael Malone, who's a fantastic coach, and you know, but it is there's some, you see some depth issues with Denver's bench, and Jamal just not being 100%. But I think it's going to be a really good series. Like these are two really good basketball teams. Yeah. So are you going with the Mavs in that one? Mavs. Are you going with the Timberwolves in that one?
No, I got Denver. I got Denver winning the series, even though they lost the first game. I think I wouldn't be surprised if Minnesota won, especially if they continue to play like they have. But I think Denver plays better. I think they're the best team in the last 3 minutes of a game. You talk about clutch performance. Last 5 minutes of a game, they're the best with their two-man actions with Jamal and Joker. Obviously, Jamal's a little injured, so that kind of affects the pick and roll, his efficiency. But Minnesota also has big wings they can throw at Jamal. McDaniels is doing a fantastic job on Jamal, fighting over screens, getting contests. This series is not going to come down to Jamal and Joker. It's going to come down to role players. Yeah. I think it's going to come down to KCP, you know, the tall shooter.
Oh, Michael Porter Jr.?
The tall shooter's name. Porter Jr. It's going to come down to Porter Jr.
No, it's a very, you know, accurate description of him. He's like massive, a 6'11", and his shot is pure. 6'11",
a ratchet.
Yeah,
see, exactly. I got baby brain right now. But also, like, I want to see Peyton Watson. You know, shout out to my Excel guy. I want to see him get some minutes. Yeah. That's another body that they're going to need to throw, you know, into the mix to kind of guard Anthony Edwards. They're going to need Christian Braun to come out there and defend, to bring energy to finish well around the basket. We're going to need Smooth Reggie to come out there, and they may need DeAndre as well. So I think it's just going to come down to...
Yeah, I think they're
going
to need to throw in DJ.
It's going to come down to how well those guys play throughout the entire series. Obviously, Denver has home court advantage, but they're going to need to get game number two, because when they get back to mini, it's going to be rocking.
It really is. I think I'm going with Minnesota in the series, but I don't, you know, that's
you think?
Just based.
How many games? Okay.
I don't know. I was all in on the Nuggets. I was all in on the Nuggets until I got to do a Timberwolves game in the playoffs, be around that team, see how connected they are. Even with Finch, like, that. Did you watch? You watched that game. You said you were watching it with Margo. That, you know, he was, like, seated next to the bench. And I liked Allie LaForce.
Coaching, but not really coaching.
Right. Like, that's so crazy. But then, like, I saw him, like, you know, motion for Ant to come sit next to the chair next to him. And Allie LaForce had a great. She's like, it's like, you know, you go and sit in the principal's office and you know, get a, they give you, like, a quick pep talk. But it kind of worked. Like, you know, I just think that team's got something going. You know, the vibes are immaculate. And I don't know if Denver's all the way healthy. If they were all the way healthy, Maybe I would take a different approach, but no one knows. We will see. That's going to be a great series.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Let's run through quickly some of the other series. Knicks Pacers again, also tonight as we're recording this on Monday. Who do you like in that series? There's a lot of little storylines, you know, ex-Raptor versus ex-Raptor, Pascal versus OG, you know, Jalen Brunson versus Carlisle. You know, obviously he was just his coach with the Mavericks, and you know, there was backstory about, you know, getting benched in playoff series, and you know, there's just some history there. Obi Toppin, a former Knick, and just the old school Knicks Pacers battles back in the day. I don't know if many of these players remember those or were, you know.
They're definitely too young.
But I know the old heads have been telling them the stories since the matchup was, you know, finalized. What's your take on this series, and you know, who do you think is going to advance?
I like the Knicks. Love the Pacers team though. Love their offense. How well they've been playing throughout this season. But looking at how well the Knicks have been playing, specifically Jalen Brunson. Like, he has been phenomenal. He's been all-star, all-NBA caliber. He's been USA Olympic team caliber. Brunson.
Well, speaking of 40-point games, he's put up 40-point game after 40-point game.
And it may be even, like, Anthony Edwards is doing incredible, and it's impressive, but Jalen Brunson's like 5'11". Mm-hmm. Like, he's paint scoring. He's got pivot action. He's getting to the middie. He's getting to the free throw line, hitting threes, and he's doing it in the Garden, which is like the mecca of basketball. So I think just the world is a better place when the Knicks are playing well. Now, their fans obviously are, you know, you're New York, very interesting. And I love the videos I get to see when they win games online. Just, it's just the accents, orange and blue skies. Like seeing them celebrate Knicks success is like second to none. Like, it's so fun to watch them celebrate.
So desperate. They're so desperate. You feel their desperation.
And they're right there. They're doing this without Julius Randle.
Right.
Which is
that,
like,
Villanova connection, the Villanova Knicks. I mean, you know, like, yeah, you've been on deep playoff runs. Like, the talent level on this stage, everyone knows how to play. But, and so being connected, understanding each other's roles, knowing how to communicate without communicating, like that, those are the little edges that, you know, like, push teams over. And there's something to this team. They don't give up.
It's true. And just looking at that series against the Sixers, how they won, you know, I think they were down 6 with 28 seconds left, and they won that game. And then they were up 6 with 25 seconds left, and they lost. Just understand the importance of possessions, how important role players are. You talked about Hart. You talked about DiVincenzo hitting big shots, defending, rebounding. You know, Tibbs is going to play his starters 40 to 45 minutes a night.
Right. And that's my fear. Can't, like, how beat up are they going to be? They're also out with without Bogdanovich. So, you know, like, he carried a heavy offensive load.
It's tough. I think this is a coin flip six. This is a coin flip series that ends in 6-2. I'm going with the Knicks in 6.
I think this is a hard matchup, too, for for the Knicks. I mean, Pascal, like, you know.
Pascal versus OG, you know, old like old times.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's going to be.
I look forward to watching.
Yeah, I think it's going to be. I think for some reason, I think it's just going to have some nice old school vibes. Because that's like, these are, you know, the Knicks just kind of play like that.
Who are you taking?
I'm going to go with the Knicks.
Knicks and...
I don't know. I'm just throwing things out right now. I'm like, Knicks and seven.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a hard series. I think it's going to be a hard series.
Another seven-game series.
So, Knicks and seven. Lastly, let's wrap up. The Cavs were the only team to win a seven-game series in the first round against a really, really, you know, up-and-coming Magic team. Paolo Banchero probably doesn't get enough attention for the kind of star he is. I mean, rookie of the year in his rookie year, all-star in his second year, you know, led his team to a five seed in the East. Taking an experienced Cavs team all the way to seven. Dude is talking about big, like, when you're in his presence, you realize how big he is. He's kind of like a linebacker. But, you know, Magic and Jamal Mosley, great coach. There was a nice first showing for them in the playoffs, but it's now Donovan Mitchell was just too much for them to handle. But now they face the bigger beast of the Boston Celtics, like who have just been waiting, who have just been sitting, waiting, resting. You know, we don't know how healthy Kristaps Porzingis is, but I'm sure it helped to have all those days off. What do you think of that series? And, you know, do you think that the Cavs can give them any trouble?
To find trouble? Like, can they win a game? Absolutely. I think Miami Heat were able to get a game. I think the Cavs can probably get two. I say they get one for sure, maybe two. Playing in Cleveland, Don can go off. Darius Garland can go off. They probably get Jared Allen back. They're going to need him in terms of just another guy that can guard, protect
the
rim.
If he can't come back,
then the Celtics are going to play small most of the game anyway. If Kristaps plays, they're going to go small at some point where JT goes to the five and they go small, switch everything. So they could go at Mobley and be just fine. But I think the problem is that Boston does all the things you're supposed to do well analytically. They shoot threes and they defend. They're great in the half court. They switch. They got a bunch of guys that can create and put pressure on your defense and get downhill with rim pressure. They make pretty good decisions at the rim in terms of when to kick it out, when to finish. And they got some guys that can score in the half court. Obviously Tatum, obviously Brown. But Derek White's been great. Obviously Drew Holiday, you know, guards, hits big shots when you need him to. They got Sam Hauser coming off the bench, knocking down shots. They got Al Horford, who they can play in the four or the five. He's stretching the floor. They just got championship DNA. So I think it's hard to beat a team like that who has home court, has championship DNA, they're rested, and they've been here before, right? Like they've been on this journey before and come up short, so they kind of know exactly what it takes. And I think for the Cavs, they're a really good team, obviously a little banged up, has some troubles with Orlando, who's a really good team, but a young team. Boston is different than Orlando in terms of experience and in terms of star power. And playing in the Garden is a little different than playing anywhere else. And I'm talking about the Boston Garden now. Like yeah. it's a hectic atmosphere. You've been there.
Yeah.
I just think that Boston, just from a talent standpoint, from how well they played this season, like they won 60 something games for a reason.
Yeah. I'm going with Boston in this one.
Boston in five.
Boston in five.
Five
also,
impossible.
Also Don is beat up too. I mean, that knee's been bothering him. And he scored in the game I had in game six, I mean, where he had 50, he scored every single point in the fourth quarter. Like Darius is going through some stuff too. I mean, like when he had that broken jaw this year, it's a story I wanted to get into and maybe I'll tell, cause I have them this upcoming week, I believe. I have game, two and three, you know, he had the broken jaw. It was wired shut. you know, that was just in the middle of the year, and he was wired shut for 3 weeks, and he's still kind of clenching, and so, you know, and he's had a lot of issues. Like, you remember, he had both those eye issues. Everyone deals with injuries, but you know, sometimes they can kind of catch up to you, and he's still kind of working himself. He lost so much weight, and he says he's still not feeling like himself, and you can kind of see that. Like, his confidence is not as high. The team keeps telling him to shoot. You know, Donovan kind of dragged them, you know, across the finish line in that first series. So, you know, is he going to have enough to outscore the entire Boston Celtics team, especially if they're hitting their threes? I don't know if they are. So I think Boston should take care of business. That's, you know, what everyone expects of them, even without Kristaps in this second round. So, yeah. That's going to be an exciting second round. I know that you're feeling some type of way. The Virgo in you is overthinking and blaming yourself and picking yourself apart. But, you know, like, you had a great year. Huh?
The Virgo in me is definitely still recovering.
Yes. But, you know, like, lean into the off season and your family, and your kids are both asleep in their cribs. So... enjoy your Monday afternoon.
I will definitely do that. I appreciate it. I hope you have safe travels. Appreciate everybody tuning in to the podcast. As always, joining Cassidy and myself. Remember to hit that like button and subscribe on YouTube. Follow us wherever you listen to your podcast, and stay tuned for another exciting episode soon.